Nadia talking about a highly available ad blocking private DNS setup in Kubernetes. But I've been told you do not need to know Kubernetes to have fun in this talk.
Exactly.
All right, good luck.
Thank you very much. Okay, hello everybody. Welcome to this talk. Is this on? Is this okay? Okay. Better now? Good. Still okay now? I don't want to look down if I can. Good. So welcome again to this talk. As I have made Peter said, that this is like a very, very long title, explicitly engineered to catch your attention. Like, if I were to talk about this with friends, I would rather call this like a cool over-engineered DNS setup. So I think that's like a more faithful representation of reality. Cool. So as again, my name is Nadia. You have my contact info in my website in the footer in there. So let's get into the agenda. So we have a lot of things to talk today. I have not rehearsed this. I have no idea if I will have time for demos. I will do my best. But in a nutshell, first of all, you may have noticed that there is some sort of elephant in this room after you have seen the title, so we will address that. Then I will present you my wish list for a DNS setup. We will talk about that. Then I will briefly talk about Kubernetes a bit. Again, no prior experience needed, but I will comment why Kubernetes and how does Kubernetes help with this. And then we'll get into the DNS gore details. We'll talk about how we do DHCP with DNS mask. DHCP and there is a connection here between DHCP and DNS, trust me. And then we'll talk about more DNS stuff, like what's my upstream server, which is DNS script proxy, about the stateless DNS, which does cool stuff with DNS and Kubernetes, and then more how we are going to tie everything together with DNS mask. Okay, so first of all, the elephant in this room. Is this talk about Pi-hole? No, it is not. Why didn't you use Pi-hole? Will be like the second elephant in this room. Well, because I didn't want to. I mean, Pi-hole is great software. If you are happy with Pi-hole, that's amazing. Pi-hole is amazing. If you have a use case that Pi-hole solves, then go ahead. That's great. I chose to go the hard way because I think it's more fun and because I think you learn stuff doing that. And you can also do some things that are harder to do with out-of-the-box solutions. So we won't talk about Pi-hole anymore. Whoops, not back, forward. Okay, wish list. So when I was like trying to come together with this DNS setup for my network, I was thinking what kind of stuff do I want to have in this network, right? So first one, and not sure if most important, but certainly a quite important requirement, is to block ads. Why? Because they are bad. They are exploitative. They are bad for you. They are bad for your mental health, and they are a malware vector. So let's get rid of those. Second thing, it has to be fast. Like time to resolve. That's what I meant by TTR here is like a huge factor in perceived speed. You open a web browser. You go to a URL. First thing you need to do: resolve a name. Maybe one if you are lucky. Maybe 10 if you are not so lucky. So the time it takes to resolve that is like, a major factor in how the speed of your network is perceived by users. Third thing, it has to be private. If you use you shouldn't use your ISP DNS, like the DNS that ship with your ISP router. These are like dubious at best. Hopefully they are fast, not guaranteed, but they are definitely not private, and some of them do nefarious stuff with domain names that do not exist. These are bad. Okay, so what if I point to 8888? Well, I mean, I wouldn't point to 8888 in particular, but doing this unencrypted is, I will say dubious. I don't feel comfortable aggressing unencrypted traffic through my network that can be trivially monitored by anyone. I don't know if my ISP is doing this. I hope it isn't, but I don't want to try it. Okay. More things. Be flexible. So that's kind of a given, but I want to be able to maybe unblock this name that is in a block list somewhere, but I do want to use it. I want to be able to integrate with DHCP because that's like quite nice. You can just ping a host name and that just works. And I wanted to integrate maybe with other name servers. We will see how that works. Like maybe I have a specific name server for a niche application. So the flexibility is like kind of important. And maybe the most important thing on this on my requirement list is to be reliable. If your home DNS is down, there is no internet. People will yell at you. People who live with you will yell at you. Hey, internet is down. Did you mess up with DNS again? I used to get these questions quite a lot, like once a month. Since I deployed this thing, zero. Not a single time, and I am very proud of this, not a single time any people living in my house have told me, did you mess up with DNS again? It just works, and I can update and restart and do stuff, and everything just works. That is amazing, and that is something that Kubernetes really helps with. Okay, infrared, let's go. Spoiler, don't look at this very much. We will look at it again, but you may see that there are, you know, Kubernetes pods, there are nodes, there's core DNS. We are not talking about core DNS, so you can ignore it. There's other devices, that is devices that are outside the Kubernetes network. There is DNS mask, lots of stuff. Don't look at this too much. We will go to that later. Okay, so let's get into the Kubernetes stuff. Why Kubernetes? So why would you run your DNS setup inside Kubernetes? Because Kubernetes is quite nice for a lot of stuff. And I have a list here. If I had to go in order, I would say that Kubernetes makes failover and high availability, that's what I mean by HI, for free, mostly. For free means in terms of cognitive load, not in terms of cash, right? So that means that you can upgrade your DNS server, which you should be doing, that you can make changes to your infrastructure, and nobody will yell at you for messing up with DNS. So that's kind of cool. And again, it works for both containers and nodes. So that means that you can take the DNS, the container serving DNS down, or the whole node serving, hosting the container that serves DNS down, and nobody should notice. The second thing that I really like is GitOps for free. If you are not in the cloud native Kubernetes scene, GitOps means that you put your stuff in Git and you have something that makes what is in Git a reality, right? So this means that the config files for your services, in this case for your DNS services, how they interconnect, how they relate to each other, that will be versioned as text in Git. That is amazing, that is priceless. Like, you make a mistake, oh, Git revert. I will think about the mistake later, but DNS will be up like very soon. That means that it is kind of self-documenting also. So if you forget and if you make a setup like over-engineer like this, you will forget. At least I have forgotten. Then you just go to the Git repo, you see the config files, they point to each other. It is so nice. Easy observability, that's what OLI, as is often pronounced, stands for. You can, like, Kubernetes is very friendly. You just drop an annotation here and export it in there, and you have metrics. And most importantly, it was already there. Like, to answer, every time I talk about doing something with Kubernetes, people ask me, should I set up Kubernetes for this? No, you should not. It is too much effort to set up a whole Kubernetes cluster for one thing. But if you have many things, like maybe too much for one, maybe too much for two, for three, still too much, you have 10 things, I would recommend you to start thinking about it. Because then you will start having everything in Git, everything managed the same way. So if it is already there, why not use it? Okay, how does Kubernetes help us in the technical gory detail? So there is this thing called MetalLB, which I really love. This is like an amazing project. It's like, what, I mean, 25% of what makes Kubernetes great for me is this thing. MetalLB is a layer 3 failover, and that's what is going to be unlocking our reliability here, and also highly availability. How does it work? MetalLB is some sort of ARP proxy. ARP is like DNS for IP addresses, if that makes sense. So what this does is that when the client asks our DNS server, which we configure to be in address 1015, okay, which computer, which MAC address is 1015? The nodes that have DNS pods will gossip between each other and some sort of agree on which is going to be 1015 for the next period of time. So one of them will say, hey, I am 1015 for sure. So then the client will say, okay, can you resolve this name for me? And the node with the pod that has a DNS server will say, hey, there you go. If this node goes away, if this pod goes away from the node, then MetalLB will notice, and the next time somebody asks for 10.15, it will be a different node answering. So that's how you get this failover and high availability, and this is how you upgrade the machine without breaking DNS for everybody, which is quite amazing. Okay, more stuff. I could pause and do some demos here and there, but I'm not sure how well we will be doing with time, so if there is time, I will do we can play with the terminal in the end. Let's talk about something else for now. So we got MetalLB doing the high level availability and failover setup for us. So what about DHCP? So DHCP and DNS are some sort of related if you want them to. The cool thing about relating them is that then when a host connects to a network and say, hey, I am, I don't know, TC1, whatever, then the DHCP server can remember that. And then when you ask the DHCP server if it also exposed DNS, okay, who is TC1? The DHCP server will remember and say, hey, TC1 is on this dynamically, this address from the DHCP pool, which I gave TC1. So that's kind of nice. And DNS mask, which we will be talking extensively about today, does this for you. And I thought, okay, why not? I need a DHCP server, and I already know DNS mask, so it also does DNS for me. Why not? There are some paper cuts. I'm not doing that good on time, so, well, it doesn't matter. DNScript proxy is my third tool in this tool belt. I think it is very nice software. DNScript proxy is going to solve our privacy concerns, our conflicting relationship with our ISP. DNScript proxy presents itself as a DNS server, so you can ask DNS questions to it, port 53. Very normal. It can be in resolve conf. Nothing client specific is needed, unlike, for example, DOH, DNS over HTTPS. But on the other side of that port 53 facade is going to be a quite complex machinery that fetches a list of well-known resolvers that do use DNScript and will proxy your queries to them. And it is quite smart. It will try many of them, it will sort them by latency, and it will favor the ones that are like closer to you. So it is, in a way, self-balancing. This list of upstream resolvers is also self-refreshing. It's hosted in GitHub. It is signed with a known public key by the author, so it is quite nice. This is like a good strong contributor to DNS being fast, and definitely the key thing that makes it secure. It also does DNS over HTTPS, by the way, in this list. I'm actually not sure if that ends up in the real world being faster than DNScript. I have no idea, but I mean, for our purposes as a client, doesn't matter as long as it is encrypted. Okay. Final tool in our tool belt. When I mentioned in my wish list that I wanted this to be